ष्टपम् गुरवे विन्यसेद्देहम् स्वाध्यायार्थं बृहद्व्रत Yadi, if, also, that student, Chandasan Lokam, the Maharloka planet, Arokshan, desiring to ascend to Brahma Vishtapam, Brahma Loka, Gurave, unto the Guru, Vinyaset, he should offer. Deham, his body, Saadhyaya, of superior Vedic studies, Artham, for the purpose, Brihat Vrata, observing the powerful vow of perpetual celibacy. So this is the description of the Varnashram system, Lord Krishna's description of Varnashram system to Uddhava. If the Brahmacharya student desires to ascend to Maharloka or Brahmaloka planets, then he should completely surrender his activities to the spiritual master, and observing the powerful vow of perpetual celibacy, dedicate himself to superior study. Please repeat. If the Brahmacharya student desires to ascend to the Maharloka or Brahmaloka planets, then he should completely surrender his activities to the spiritual master, and observing the powerful vow of perpetual celibacy, dedicate himself to superior Vedic studies. The fourth by Srila Prabhupada. One who desires the supreme perfection of love, life must engage his body, mind, and words in the service of a bona fide spiritual master. One desiring elevation to superior planets such as Brahmaloka and Maharloka must fully engage in the spiritual master's service. We can thus imagine the sincerity of purpose and service required to achieve the Krishna Loka planet, which lies far beyond the material universe. Om Gyanatimandasya Kanandana Sakaya Chakshurudhikandina Kasmaya Shri Gurudhima Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhupada Shri Vipiraha Shri Vashari Gauru Bhaktakunda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Brihadvrata is a common phrase that we find in Shastra and Bhagavatam. It refers to lifelong celibacy, or it refers to celibacy. Generally, celibacy is for brahmanas. That's why when Bhishma Dev took a vow of celibacy and was a kshatriya, and then there came the cries, Bhishma, Bhishma, that he will take a lifelong vow of celibacy and he will never rule. In one sense, one was already the consequence of the other. If you don't have children, if a king doesn't have children, how can he rule? There will be no one to take the throne. Nonetheless, it's a Brihadvrata, it's a great vow, because because ultimately, this is what material life is about. It's about the relationship between men and women, which ultimately boils down to maitri bhava, which boils down to sex life. And if you were to summarize the purpose of the varnashram system just in one phrase, then you would say separation between men and women. Not perpetual separation, because that doesn't work for everyone, but a distance between men and women, which ultimately is not destructive for the spiritual life of either one, either for men or for women. So here this Brihavrata is very interesting, because here we're talking about Vedic Brahmacharya, which does not necessarily mean that someone is necessarily a Vaishnava. Or even if he engages in Vaishnava practices, he may not really have real pure faith. But still, this vow is so powerful that you could go to Maharloka, you can go to Brahmaloka, or you can actually even enter the sun planet just by being celibate. And then Prabhupada says, then what do you have to do to go to Krishna Loka? And therefore, actually, in Krishna consciousness, everyone has to be celibate. And Prabhupada uses this phrase for grihasthas, grihastha brahmachari. Actually, Manu Samhita also uses the same phrase, grihastha brahmachari. Grihastha actually means brahmachari. Someone who never gets married, a brahmachari, a naishtiki brahmachari, so he never has sex, and a grihastha brahmachari maybe 3-4 times, but what's the difference? So both are really brahmachari, both are grihavrata. And of course this is a very unconventional, and well, it's gone beyond being unconventional, it's gotten to the stage of being called a destructive lifestyle. So in the world that we live in today, it's called a postmodern world. It's no longer modern. Modern was quite some years ago. Now it's a postmodern world. Restricting sex life is almost taboo. It's considered to be psychologically, physically, socially destructive, everything that goes on in the world, and not just outside of India, but also in India, is based around all kinds of, and ultimately unlimited or unrestricted, sexual engagement. So to take up a vow of celibacy is very, sometimes people will ask me, what does it mean if you're a swami? I said, I'm celibate. And they just look at me, they don't understand. What does it mean to be celibate? I don't know if it's a word that people even know what it means in today's language. There's no question of practicing celibacy. The only religion, or at least in the Western world, the only religion that demands celibacy from its higher order, from its clergy, is the Catholic Church. And even that's under fire. There's a strong movement that the Catholic priests should also be allowed to marry. Protestants, everyone else, they marry. Which means that they don't take a brihavrata. And Prabhupada here translates this phrase, Gurave Vinyashet Deham. He should offer his body to the spiritual master. Now, often this idea in Vedic culture, or at least sometimes we see in Vedic culture, that accepting the guru is a training period, and after the training period, then you go on with your life. But no, here, these are the two requirements. One is, three requirements. Celibacy, superior Vedic studies. So, superior Vedic studies mean svadhyā and ātnam svadhyāya. So svadhyāya means Vedic studies, superior Vedic studies. And the third one is deham. You offer your deha. Deha means your mind, your intelligence, your body. You offer your life to the direction of a guru. This is a little more than someone who's just a teacher. Here it means guru is someone who actually directs your life. That may be in a direct way, or it may be, for instance, in our Krishna consciousness movement, through the agency of an institution and representatives of guru, which may be temple presidents or GBCs or other senior Vaishnavas. But if you want to go back to Krishna Loka, Prabhupada said, so then we can just imagine the sincerity of purpose and service required to achieve the Krishna Loka planet, then you have to give your life. It's not enough to just make some kind of token. I got initiated. There are many initiates, but not so many disciples. Anyone can get initiated, but who actually gives their life? So like Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Manasa deha geha yogi chumor arkinu tuva parinanda kisho. Now I'm giving everything to you. How do you give everything to Krishna? You give it through Krishna's representative. And ultimately you give it to the Krishna consciousness movement. So what is favorable? Because that is the difference between real spiritual life and spiritual life where, like very often, we may have some devotees who come and says, I would like to donate something. I would like to donate some money. I would like to donate some land to Krishna. Someone who thinks that he's a donor doesn't really fully understand. He hasn't actually dedicated anything. Because if you're a donor, that means you have something. But if you've already given everything, you have nothing to donate. Everything already belongs to Krishna. The question is just, how much should I keep? By what standard should I live? So this Brihadvrata is something that applies to brahmacharis, it applies to grihasthas, it also applies to sannyasis. Sannyasis are meant to be independently wealthy people with bank accounts and so on. But they're also meant to be giving their entire existence. Gurave vinyasyati ham. They give their whole lives to Krishna. And by superior Vedic studies. What is superior Vedic studies? The most superior Vedic study is to study Srimad Bhagavatam, to study Chaitanya Charitamrita. You can study Vedas, you can study Upanishads, you can even study Puranas, and you can get completely lost as to what is actually the goal of life, what to speak of, to be able to attain the Krishna Loka planet. But Krishna says, Virasya Sarveda Hamneva Vedya. But if you want to understand the purpose of the Vedas, then you should hear about Krishna. And how do you hear from Krishna? Tavakata Amitam Tavakajivanam. Those topics which are directly related to Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar of Devotion. So Prabhupada said these four books. If you don't study other books, but if you at least study these four books, that's enough. Okay. Who has read Bhagavad Gita more than five times here? Put up your hand. No one has read Bhagavad Gita more than five times. One person. But he came with me. Every morning he gets up, the first thing he does is reading Bhagavad Gita all the morning. No one's read Bhagavad Gita five times, I'm surprised. How many have read Srimad Bhagavatam beginning to end? resolution. Now, are we clapping to get away from the fact that actually we should be booing? Because there's only one person in this temple room who's read all of Srimad Bhagavatam. That's not very good. But here it says superior Vedic studies. And there is this in the beginning of Tattva Sandarbha, of course, Jiva Goswami has written, but there's an introduction by the Gopi Pranadas Prabhu, at least in his version. There's this verse, which I forget how it starts, Amalak, just in the same way that you can take a Amalaki fruit and hold it in your hand. So Jiva Goswami, he had the whole Srimad Bhagavatam like that in his hand. The devotees in Vrindavan, they used to call him a Gyani, because everywhere he was going, he was carrying books with him. But he was not a Gyani, he was just a learned Vaishnava. And Srila Prabhupada has given us these books so that we may also become learned Vaishnavas. Okay, well, had I known this was the statistics, I would have done a PowerPoint presentation here, which is called the Four Generations. Something. Well, it's a second version of the Four Generations, which Revindirana Prabhu has also seen. But basically, it talks about the non-going to diverge a little from the content of this purport, that technically in religions, in four generations, you can see the decline of the original principles which its founder has given. Srila Prabhupada is the first generation. His direct disciples are second generation, their disciples are third generation, and disciples of disciples, which we have, are fourth generation. Now when Srila Prabhupada comes, Srila Prabhupada has, on any particular issue or topic, Prabhupada, there are issues. In other words, what is it that actually keeps a spiritual institution and a religious movement alive? Is that the main teachings and practices are followed. And what is it that makes a religious institution crumble? That there are questions that come up about both the practices and the philosophy. So these are called issues. These are there in Srila Prabhupada's time. The first thing is issues. Second thing is that there is actually Prabhupada's instruction. The Prabhupada gave clear instructions on different topics. But Prabhupada gave them in the third point, which is he gave them in a certain context. Context being time, place, circumstance. And the fourth, Srila Prabhupada actually was very clear about his purpose. Now, in the second generation already, Prabhupada's purpose is not necessarily so clear. So we see that even in Prabhupada's time, Prabhupada would say contradictory things to different devotees about the same issue, but his purpose was always the same. His purpose didn't change. And yet, because devotees didn't understand what Prabhupada's purpose is, for instance, on Varnashram, Prabhupada says, devotees do not need Varnashram, and he said, but you have to institute Varnashram. The Prabhupada had a purpose. What was still Prabhupada's purpose? Prabhupada knew what his purpose is. But now we have an argument. We don't need Varnashram, and we do need Varnashram. So, second generation are already not clear on the Prabhupada's purpose. The third generation, you lose the context. At least Prabhupada's disciples are there in the time and the place where Srila Prabhupada said things and why he said things. Well, now in Prabhupada's absence, context is no longer there. So therefore, you have neither the purpose, you don't have the context. And by the fourth generation, the instructions are also gone. Why? because Prabhupada said something that his disciples heard, but you cannot actually get those directly anymore. There's no one to transmit saying, I heard Prabhupada say this. So all you've got left are issues. In other words, all you've got left is problems to tackle. Now, how do you overcome these things? You have to be in contact with Srila Prabhupada. How do you get in contact with Prabhupada? Prabhupada's books. So if there's not systematic and deep understanding of Prabhupada's books, then generally in four generations, a spiritual organization crumbles and falls. So very often it seems that about, I think within 100 years, 99% of religions that start up, they disappear. Can ISKCON disappear? Someone give me an answer. Yes or no? Who says no? Who says yes? Who says something? Yeah, why can't ISKCON disappear? There was an ISKCON before this ISKCON. It was called Gaudiya. It exists, but it's a skeleton. So why can't it happen to ISKCON? It can also happen to ISKCON if people are not clear about what it is that our founder wanted. So back to here. Svadhyayartham. Very superior Vedic studies. Knowing Srimad Bhagavatam inside out. Knowing Bhagavatam. Reading Bhagavad Gita. What's the speak of reading Bhagavad Gita? Everyone should memorize Bhagavad Gita. Now, I'm a Malecha. Now, I memorized Bhagavad Gita before I was in this movement for 5 years. I knew all the verses. I've forgotten many since then. Now, there are so many pundits, Mayavadis, everyone. They know Bhagavad Gita by heart just like that. So what to speak of our devotees? So superior Vedic studies, celibacy, and dedicating our lives to Srila Prabhupada's order. Amar Agya Guru Bharata, you become a guru, you save the world, you save this country, you save your family. That we give our lives to spreading this Krishna consciousness movement. Otherwise, this motto, going back to Godhead, then it's just something on top of a magazine called Back to Godhead. But if you want to go back to Godhead, then it has to be serious business. And it starts off with knowing what Godhead is. Srimad Bhagavatam tells you what Godhead is. Srimad Bhagavatam tells us how to get there. And then one has to actually very seriously apply oneself to the practice of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, three things here. Perpetual celibacy. Grihastha, sannyas, brahmachari, it's all the same. Celibate life, giving one's whole existence to one's spiritual master. When Krishna says, sarva dharma pritya, then sarva dharma pritya means yes, same thing. I give sarva dharma pritya to my guru, to Srila Prabhupada, to our Guru Parampara. And then one can achieve something that's very, very difficult otherwise to know. Brahma, Shiva, even for them this concept of going back to Godhead is a very rarely achieved thing. Because in order to go back to Godhead, you have to actually develop prema. Prema Kumarato Mahan. This is, you can get Dharma Artha Kama Moksha, but you can't get prema. Prema is not such an easy thing. Who's read Brihad Bhagavatam Rita? Anyone? Okay. Anyway, Brihad Bhagavatam Rita is a very important book because it is the Bhagavatam Amrita, it is the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's a very, it talks about a Gop Kumar who is a pure devotee. He's already a pure devotee from birth. He lives in Govardhan. He's born in Govardhan. And he receives mantra, he receives Gopa mantra, similar to the Gopa mantra we chant. And by chanting this mantra, he goes through all the planets of this universe, and then he goes to Brahmaloka, and then he's at the gates of Kailash, and at the gates of Vaikuntha. It takes a long time for him to get there, it's a long story. I'm just giving one relevant part. When he gets to Brahmaloka, then Lord Shiva, he meets Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva is traveling throughout the Brahmajyoti, chanting the Lord's name. By Lord Shiva's grace, then he meets Vaikuntha Dutas. Vaikuntha Dutas are Vishnu Dutas. They are coming down to the material world to preach, and they tell Gop Kumar. He says, Gop Kumar, he's never performed a sinful activity in his life. He's very pure hearted. He's been a Brahma, he's been an Indra, he's done everything, he's done all of these things. But he remains as a cowherd boy. And by the power of chanting this mantra, now he's gone in past the realm of liberation, he's going past Mahakalapur, and the Vishnu Dutas say, this is as far as you go. You can't get beyond here. Gop Kumar says, why? He says, because you don't know Shastra. And because you don't know Shastra, you don't have Bhava. So Krishna says, Bhava Jnana Tapasa Putrama Bhava Magata. He says, by knowledge of me, people have attained love for me. So this Gop Kumar was very pure-hearted, but he was not educated. He didn't know Siddhanta. He had never really studied Srimad Bhagavatam. So Vaikuntha Dutas say, now you go back to Mathura, and in Mathura there are many pure brahmanas, and you learn Srimad Bhagavatam from them. Once you study Srimad Bhagavatam, then you will be able to chant your mantra with ecstasy, with bhava, and then you can go to Vaikuntha. Otherwise, you cannot. So these are all very important things that are given to us. These are teachings that are given to us by our acharyas, Sanatana Goswami, Srila Prabhupada, and emphasize that if we want to actually cultivate and really develop this love for God, we talk about it a lot, then it has to be done in tandem with studying and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam Mahamuni Devi Mahapareshwara Sajya Vidya Varujati Atikriti Bhishma. So you don't need anything else, but you need Srimad Bhagavatam. Because without Srimad Bhagavatam, and without actually studying Srimad Bhagavatam, it is not really possible. I have one godbrother who you probably know, Dhritakarma Prabhu. Now, I don't know how he does it, but he reads all of Prabhupada's books every year. Every year, he reads all four books. That means he's read them 40 times. It's possible. You just have to give it the quality time. I've just finished, I'm reading Chaitanya Charitamrita. I read Srimad Bhagavatam. I started in August before I came here. I finished at the end of November. So August, September, October, November, 4 months, I read Srimad Bhagavatam. Now I'm reading Chaitanya Charitamrita. I'll finish at the end of the month. So we should always read. Our most important business is to study Srila Prabhupada's books. The Prabhupada makes this statement to one lady in San Francisco. She's asking about selling Prabhupada's books. Prabhupada says, you think I've written these books to sell them? He says, I haven't written these books to sell them. I read them for my followers to read them. He says, if you just sell them and you don't read them, he says, you're committing an offense. The Prabhupada got up at midnight. He was working till 6 o'clock in the morning. He was not trying to establish a business. He wanted us to actually get the pure knowledge which has been handed down to us through our disciplic succession, through his Bhaktivedanta purports, in a very simple, easily digestible language for everyone. And Prabhupada complained. He said, my only complaint is that my disciples don't read my books. So that's not something that we should perpetuate if we're put into question our ability to continue the Krishna consciousness movement. But simultaneously, it will also put into question our ability to achieve the Krishna Loka planet, which is lies far beyond the material universe. You may be a nice sticky brahmachari. You may be chanting many different other mantras, but here, superior study to Vedic studies. And when we talk about giving ourselves to our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, it means that this is an educational institution. Many times Srila Prabhupada said, our Krishna consciousness movement is to educate. It's to educate primarily our full-time devotees and then to educate the rest of the world in what truth is, what real knowledge is. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Jai Nitai Gaur Premanandini. Thank you.